Savior promise long. Let every heart prepare a throne, and every voice a song. He comes from thickest films of ice to clear the mental ray, and on the eyeballs of the blind to pour celestial day. He comes the broken heart to bind, the bleeding soul to cure, and with the treasure of his grace to enrich the humble poor. Our glad Hosanna's Prince of Peace, thy welcome shall proclaim, and hence eternal arches ring with thy beloved name. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips, make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to
help
me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. Amen. Oh, come, let us worship the Lord. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is our great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. shepherds heard the story proclaimed by angel bright, how Christ the Lord of glory was born on earth this night. To Bethlehem they sped, and in the manger found him, as angel herald said. This flower whose fragrance tender with sweetness fills the air, dispels with glorious splendor the darkness everywhere. True man yet very God, from sin and death he saves us and lightens every lot. O Savior, child of Mary, who fell our human woe, Savior, King of glory, who dost our weakness know, bring us at length, we pray, to this bright courts of heaven and to the endless day. Amen. Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. He who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He will receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. The Old Testament lesson for this, the Wednesday of Populous Zion, the second Wednesday in Advent, is written in the fourth chapter of the prophet Malachi, beginning at the first verse. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in its wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they will be as ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts, remember the Torah of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb, for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
us. The epistle lesson is written in the 15th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the church at Rome, beginning at the 4th verse. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become the servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even as he who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abide in hope. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When people are friendly, it's kind of, we question it, don't we? Because what's their motive? In his book about Provence, Peter Mayle, who lived there for maybe 20, 25 years, he wrote several books about it, and he said that the villagers in France have very partisan feelings. And a single trivial incident can set things off. All it takes is some kind of slight or the wrong attitude, a snub that is real or imagined in the boulangerie, and a workman taking his time, maybe moving his truck from a blocked alleyway or a baleful stare of an old lady as you walk by, and then everyone will say that village is fermé. It's cold. It's unwelcoming. Right? And the people are forthcoming, if they're friendly, if they're talkative, then you'd better watch out, right? Because this is just a cloak of nosiness, right? Before you know it, your details of your life, your private business will be pinned in the village notice board. And we kind of think that way too, don't we? It's not just the French. I mean, we think that way too. You know, why do they want to know what's going on in my life? It's not their business, right? They're not doing it because they care about me or care about you, right? They're just doing it because they want something to talk about. They want fodder for gossip or for some other ill motive. And that's why we question people's motives, don't we? Not just in France, but in Fairhope, right? Right. That's why we get surly or irritated at somebody's driving their car. It's too reckless. It's too slow. It's too careful. It's too fast. Or we get impatient at the line because somebody has too many groceries. Yeah, we just don't like other people, do we? Not really. We pretend we do, right? When we know the context requires that we pretend. But deep down inside, we really don't like each other. Not that much, do we? Really? Right? Not really. And why do we act this way? Why are we impatient and uncomfortable with each other and ourselves? Why? Why do we not trust each other? Why do we not welcome each other genuinely and completely? Why do we always question others' motives, especially when their behavior is good or appears to be good? I think it's because we neglect God's word, right? I think we do. Almost everyone neglects God's word. Even pastors do. I'm amazed when I talk to my colleagues how little they actually study God's word. I'm amazed how little I study it sometimes, right? It's not good, is it? And if I'm a professional, my colleagues are professional Bible studiers, what does that say about the laity, y'all? It's not good for any of us, is it? And the problem is this. As the psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
And so if we're not in God's word, what are we doing? We're walking through life without a light. And if you walk through the woods without a light in the darkness, you end up tripping over roots and getting into trouble and injuring yourself in ways that you would not have if you'd had a lamp or a flashlight or a torch, as the Brits call it. No, we need God's word. We need God's word because, as Solomon says in Proverbs 6:23, for this commandment is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way to light. Without God's word, we walk in darkness. That's why St. Peter, whom Jesus chose to be the chief of the apostles, wrote, "We also have the word of the prophets as confirmed beyond all doubt, and we do well to pay attention to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." 2 Peter 1:19. We would do well to pay attention. And Peter should know. You know, he denied Christ 3 times, right? Before the cock crowed that one terrible morning that we call Good Friday. Yes, we need the delightful and comforting light that comes from Christ, that sunrise of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need this. And this comes to us, though, it comes to us through the Holy Scripture, doesn't it? It does. God's word is the lamp unto our feet. Yes, it is through the Holy Scriptures that we need, for whatever things were written before, as our gospel lesson today says, were written for our epistle lesson says today, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Notice that. Our comfort is found in the Scriptures. If we're not going to the Scriptures, we are denying ourselves God's comforts. And we do this a lot, don't we? I know I do. Now may the God of patience, Paul continues to write, and comfort, patience and comfort, grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another just as Christ has also received us to the glory of God. I think St. Paul is teaching us several things here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's first teaching us that patience and comfort come, as I said earlier, from God's scriptural light, right? Without the Scriptures, we don't have light and we don't have hope. Not really, right? When I talk to people and they tell me how hopeless they are, you know, how suicidal they are, how they want to just give up on life. One of the first questions I ask them is, are you reading God's word? Are you attending His worship? Inevitably, they tell me what? They tell me, no. No, we're not. I'm not. Mm-mm. No. Now, God gives us light and hope through His word. He does this and He causes us by this light and this word to become like-minded with one another. In other words, we as a group, as a congregatio, as a congregation, as a Gemeinde in German, you know, or a synagogue in Greek, we come together and become ecclesia, become the church, and we become transformed by the same word of God into a group of people that have one mind and praise God with one voice. And we agree with concord with one another. And it comes from the transformation we receive as we together come to hear the word. We together receive faith that comes from the hearing of God's word, as Paul is inspired to write in Romans 10:17. Yes, we are all born again of the water and the Spirit. We are all bathed in the same spiritual rebirth of holy baptism, and we eat the same spiritual food that comes from Christ's true body and blood given unto us under the earthly veils of bread and wine. Right? And this occurs in the context of being with one mind and one mouth and glorifying God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is talking literally about the worship of the church. Right? One of the greatest travesties, one of the greatest lies that we have been fed in our lifetimes is that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Right? I mean, it's not that going to church is a law, like I've said many times, but there is a benefit to being with other Christians around the Word of God and around His holy sacraments. And we see this in today's epistle lesson. There are three terms that Paul points out: one mind, one mouth, and glory, glorify. All three point to the collective worship of God's church. It's the reason why Paul tells the church in Hebrews, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as has become the habit of some. Why? Because in the New Testament, the word for church is literally ecclesia. And ecclesia means the gathering of those who are called, who are part of the same thing. In the ancient world, the ecclesia was the Greek leadership of a village. We, when we come together, are the ecclesia. That's the reason why Luther and the confessors say that the church is invisible. You can't really see it. You can't look at a Christian's life and go, oh yeah, he's a Christian, clearly. Because we're sinners and saints at the same time. But when the saints all gather around the Word of God and His holy sacraments, then you can perceive the church. The one holy universal church that is normally invisible because we sin becomes visible around what? As God's people speak with one voice and one heart, they become like-minded with one word, right? With one mouth. And that's exactly what happens in the Scriptures. We, with one mouth, speak what we know with one mind. That's the reason why we speak antiphonally. We sang the psalm. You know, I said something as your pastor, and you said something back to me as the congregatio, as the ecclesia. That's how heaven speaks. One angel says, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth. The other one says, heaven and earth is full of His glory. That's right. And the word doxē literally is the word from the Greek meaning worship. That's why the Eastern Church calls themselves the orthodoxē, those who worship correctly, those who glorify God correctly, right? And therefore, in the church's liturgy, which is distilled from Holy Scripture, we confess and glorify God together. We learn the faith together. We are taught the faith together. We believe the faith together. Or as Prosper of Aquitaine, that great ancient father from what they call now Bordeaux, but was once called the province of Gaul by the Romans, he says that lex orandi, lex credendi est, that the law of prayer determines the law of belief. That if we are learning the same things and singing the same things together that are true and hearing the same word of God together that is true, we will begin to believe the truth together. So therefore, we see in the church, when we go to church, that we receive God's comforting words and His comforting sacraments that give us hope together, as well as patience, right? And this applies to both Jew and Gentile, as Paul points out in today's epistle, right? We are all saved by grace through faith, through the same Word of God, the same merciful God, who fills us with all joy and peace and comfort. In the name of Jesus, amen. See these gifts to sense and I'll give them to you.
We praise thee, O God, we acknowledge thee too. O Lord, all earth and death worship thee, the Father everlasting. To thee all angels cry aloud and all the powers. To thee cherubim and seraphim continually decry. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of the majesty of thy glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise thee. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise thee. The noble army of martyrs praise thee. The holy church throughout all the world doth acknowledge thee. The Father of an infinite majesty, thine adorable, true, and only Son. Also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Thou art the King of glory, O Christ. Thou art the everlasting Son of the Father. When thou tookest upon thee to deliver man, thou didst humble thyself to be born of a virgin. When thou hast overcome the sharpness of death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Thou sittest at the right hand of God in the glory of the Father. We believe that thou shalt come to be our judge. We therefore pray thee, help thy servants, whom thou hast redeemed with thy precious blood. Make them to be numbered with thy saints in glory everlasting. Vox sit, O Lord, bless thine heritage. Govern them and lift them up forever. Day by day we magnify thee, and we worship thy name ever, world without end. Vouchsafe, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us. O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us as our trust is in thee. O Lord, in thee have I trusted, let me never be confounded. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Christ, O Lord, O God, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Unto thee have I cried, O Lord. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise. O Lord, hide thy face from my sins. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from thy presence. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Walk safe, O Lord, this day. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us. Hear my prayer, O Lord. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.